My next guest is an individual well known, really, in the state of Maine. This is Severin Béliveau, who is one of Maine's best known attorneys and has significant experience in legislative and regulatory issues. He is a founding partner of Preti Flaherty and directs the firm's government affairs practice in Augusta and Washington, D.C. I know this is a very short, we've shortened the bio, but yours is very long and impressive, and I mean, you've been around doing stuff with the state of Maine and really nationally, maybe even internationally, for a long time.
Many years, yeah, 50 years. Think about it, 50 years since when I graduated from law school, returned to Rumford, where I was born and raised. From there, my father had just retired from our state Supreme Court. My brother came from the Justice Department. We started a law firm with no clients, and we built on that, and I was elected district attorney at the time, and that was the, kind of the beginning. And then I was in the state legislature, House, Senate. And then eventually, after I was married, we moved to Augusta, to Hollowell, and where we've been for the last 30, 25 some odd years, and a few years ago after our children, our four boys, left after they were educated, and three of whom are out of state, one of whom is here. We moved here to Portland, where we lived in a condo on Munjoy Hill. Yeah.
So you saw a lot of change in Rumford, I would imagine, given what Rumford used to be and what mm-hmm. Rumford has evolved into. What was your family's interaction with the mill?
That's a good point. When I was a kid in the 50s, the mill was thriving. At the paper mill at that time employed over 3,000 men and women. It was a strong sense of community where the company was owned by a family from Connecticut. Strong unions, good pay. The salaries, the hourly wages were very high, one of the highest in the state. And there was, again, a strong sense of community there. And that since that time, the mill, which is currently in its fifth iteration, I think fifth or sixth owner since then, now employs around 700. So they've reduced or declined the employment from 3,300 to 7,000. That's fairly representative of what's happening in all the mill towns in Maine today. And that can be attributed to a number of factors. I think one is competition, particularly from, ironically, from the Far East, where paper is manufactured there, and Canada as well, because of cheap energy prices. And so you visit Rumford, Millinocket, Jay, and all these mill towns, it's sad because you've seen it's the end of an era, and despite what certain politicians are suggesting, there's no prospect of returning to those days. And as I said, when I was a kid, Rumford had a population around 10,000, it's down to 6,500. We were one of the first families there. My grandfather McCarthy, Matthew McCarthy, graduated from the University of Maine Law School in 1900, and he was one of the first lawyers and the first judge in that town. And my father was he was a prosecutor. I was, my uncle, my grandfather. We were the four DAs in that county for a number of years, and we had a strong presence in that part of Oxford County. Unfortunately, no family members there today. We have a home in Rangeley, and I travel through Rumford, and I have friends and all, but it's fairly representative of what's happening in Maine today, and I think that this last election kind of reflected that. We look at the voting patterns at areas which were predominantly and strongly Democratic because the unions and the workers has voted, you know, for Trump in a big way, because people were unhappy and angry and saw the economy floundering and thought that maybe that there's some way out of it. But unfortunately, that's not the case. So I've lived through all of it. And one statistic I like to cite is that in Maine, in the last 5 years, our population has increased by 900 people. And were it not for the influx of immigrants and refugees, we would be in tough shape. And that's not a political statement. It's just a realistic statement, yeah.
You have actually a family background that's not that dissimilar from many people's family backgrounds. In fact, the three of us sitting in the studio, including Spencer Albee, our audio engineer, we all have this French-Canadian Irish Catholic thing going on. And we've talked about this with actually the Lewiston coach, soccer team coach, and his family background also had that
sure,
French-Canadian
Irish
Catholic. And that used to be the dividing line. That used to be, like, you have one side the French-Canadian Irish, I mean, the French-Canadian Catholic, other side Irish Catholic. It seems like, you know, it's just, again, same story. It's been going on for a long time. It probably will keep going on for a long time.
Yeah, I think you're right. And those communities, particularly in the 40s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, as they migrated from Ireland and from Canada and Acadia, they each had their own culture and the language. And that was reflected in the schools of the churches and all those communities, in Lewiston and Biddeford and Saco and all these, and Rumford, Madawaska, Jay, all these communities had two churches and two schools. You had the Irish school, the Irish church, the Irish priests, and the French priests. And I went to French school in Rumford. Spoke French at home to my father. We were very much aware of the cultural differences. But we didn't experience that in Rumford. I mean, that tension between the two cultures didn't exist. Again, because you had a strong economy. When things are going well, people get along well. It's when they're under economic stress that all these other issues surface. Now, if we had a strong economy, much of the problems we have in Maine today wouldn't exist, I think. People would be complaining as much about the immigrants and others who were coming here. But you're right, and when you see the evolution here in Maine, where all the economic activity is really in two counties, I mean, York and Cumberland counties, north of Brunswick,